Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa ni maona misozi masomwake ni mavuto abale ni mavuto.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, Saturday, November 19th, 2016. Thank you, everybody, for joining us from whichever part of the country, the world, that you are listening from. It's 1800 hours in Zambia, 10 a.m. in Dallas, Texas, and I believe it's 4 p.m. GMT in the British areas. That part of the world there. It's exciting today. We have a special guest, and I'm very excited about this. I'm looking forward to this discussion to learn. I like talking to progressive, productive, intelligent ladies that just find their place in life and in the world and do what they have to do. Before we go to our guest, let me say hello to Miss Frida. Good morning. Hello,
I'm sorry, Frida. Good morning. I had you on mute. I'm sorry. Good morning. How are you?
Technology. I'm doing good. Dr. Galonde, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Today, we are speaking.
I'll be running away soon.
Don't run away. I need you here.
I'm at the airport. I'm traveling to D.C. for a conference.
Okay. Donald Trump has called you?
Right now, I'm in Denver. So the whole morning, I was on another flight. That's why I didn't attend until the last few minutes.
Okay. That's good. Excellent. Uncle Daniel Chisewe, good morning. Okay, he probably is trying to connect our guest here. Let me also say good morning to Kelvin. Kelvin, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing good. You ready for Miss Mutinta?
Yes, very ready.
Okay, good. I want us to have a great discussion. Frida, I have so many questions to ask, and I could do this just me and her, but I'll give you guys a chance to join us. Uncle Daniel, are you there? That's it.
Yes, Miss Mutinta is on the line. Nathan, you can take off.
Good. Well, this morning from Texas and other parts of the world, yeah, it's evening for you and late afternoon in Zambia. We are joined by Mrs. Mutinka Chiko Mazoka Membe. I like those names. She's a political scientist by profession and qualification, humanitarian, entrepreneur, and founder and owner of Himoya Neo Lounge and a lot of other things that we're going to talk about. Mrs. Membe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Nathan. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for joining us. And we're so glad and delighted that you took time to be with us today.
No, it's an honor to have been invited. Thank you so very much.
Excellent. Let me begin by asking you this question. Just share with us and our listening audience, how was it growing up a Mazoka, Womutinta?
That's very interesting. Well, I would say I just grew up like every other, you know, average Zambian person here in Zambia. I was born in the southern province. At the time, there was a mission hospital called Chikankata my Trankata Hospital. That's when I was
yes.
born. From then onwards, at the time, my father was the general manager of Gambia Railways.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived in Kabwe for a number of years under my father's portfolio there, and working for the railways. After which, in about 1981, we moved to Ndola. So
mm-hmm.
I was living in Ndola, only migrated from Ndola to Lusaka in 1988.
Okay.
From there, like I said, it's just an average background. Went to school, had parents who were very disciplinary in nature. And, of course, they encouraged us to exercise our highest level of effort when it came to our academic pursuits. I used to be quite athletic as a child as well, so that was something that
okay.
my father and mother both encouraged as well.
Interesting.
At the time, a lot of people will look at the a lot of people were thinking my father was in politics for a long time. No, he wasn't. He only went into politics in 1998. So from the time we moved from Ndola to Lusaka, that was about a 10-year span. At that time, he was brought in to manage Anglo-American Corporation here in Lusaka.
Yes.
So at that point, I didn't really spend a lot of my time in Lusaka. I was sent off to boarding school, and I went to a girls' school in a place called Tunbridge Wells in England, where I did my entire secondary school. And at that point, obviously, I didn't have as much contact with my parents. I would see them probably about 5 times a year, come home for holidays and things like that. But, they were not the type of parents who spoiled you. They were very, very strong on discipline and encouraged us to pursue our own dreams. It wasn't a case of, sometimes I kind of worry about parents. Some parents will say, no, you need to be a doctor, or you need to be this and you need to be that. Luckily enough for me, my parents said, look, we're not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do, hence my entering into political science. So the joke in my family has always been, I was the first person to go into politics.
Interesting. I was reading somewhere, Ms. Mutinta, where you say, and I quote, he was a very good friend of mine as well as a father. Can you speak to that statement there?
Well, I think, at any level, when it comes to parenting, there comes a stage where you become a friend to your children. God willing,
yes.
of course, that you are alive when your children become mature and become their own person. And that's basically what happened with me and my father. Of course, by the time he passed away, I was already working and I had my own career and life going. So in that respect, he sought advice from me on certain, things. And that's why I feel the friendship came in. He valued
mm-hmm.
my points and that of my siblings. And generally speaking, with most people who've ever worked with my father, generally found that my father was a very, very easy person to talk to. He was a person who listened. And he didn't jump the gun in terms of making decisions unless he was able to bring people on board, listen to their logic, and then from there he made what I would consider an informed decision, whatever circumstance he was faced.
You've rightly said that he entered politics in 1998, and when he decided to form UPND, how did that conversation go as a family? To what extent was everybody involved in that process or decision, and in what ways did it affect your life?
Well, truth be told, it didn't go as smoothly as people would like to think. What actually happened, the antithesis of this whole conversation of my father going into politics started with my mother, of course.
Uh-huh.
That was the person he lived with. Like I said, my siblings and I were away for school. But I recall my mother calling me and telling me that she, father, and her sister from, they started the conversation at about 8 o'clock in the evening, and they only finished it at 6 o'clock the next day. The media stage should show you how resistant my mother was with the whole thing. So, again, you know, my father knew, he was very tactical in how he did things. He started with my mother, of course, to bring her on board. I mean, eventually she, you know, she understood the need for him to go into politics. After he had won her over, he now had a partner in crime to come and give the news to the children.
Okay. So what was your personal response and input into that process?
Well, personally, I just thought to myself, I had seen, obviously, he had started entering into politics in a very small way. He had stood for councillor in Bowlen, which is an area in Lusaka, which is close to where my parents lived. And, of course, I saw the ramifications of that because then, you know, he pretty much wound up putting the spotlight on himself. In the sense that government was able to see that, oh, this guy has a plan. And we started seeing the thwarting of that plan. And so he obviously went through the typical things that happen to anybody who goes into politics in Africa, which is the state will try to attack you in terms of your businesses. They'll cripple them. They will try to basically make sure that you don't have a financial base in which to operate. And so once we started seeing that, that was what worried me the most. Why are you doing this? After a while, you know, you couldn't argue with my father. He wasn't the type of person who said, look, this is my decision. I'm not dealing, you know, I'm not waiting for you to tell me anything else. What he did instead was give us a different perspective. He said, look, I'm not going into politics for myself. We go into this as a form of national service, as in terms of affluence, so to speak. I won't, you know, he worked very hard and he did well for himself and the family. But he made sure that we understood the necessity of serving a greater good than ours. Mm-hmm. So that is how he won us over. He said, look, one of the most famous things that he would constantly just go on over and over again in our household was he would say, look, it makes no sense whatsoever for me to drive out of this plush home, you know, where I have everything, food, you name it, beautiful surroundings and everything. And the minute I drive out of this gate, I see nothing but trash. I see people hungry. I just see children not being able to go to school. I'm just surrounded by sheer poverty. Then he said that if that is the state in which we currently live in, my wealth has been in vain. That is the type of person that he was. And by those words, that is what motivated my siblings and I to say, you know what? Sometimes one's destiny has very little to do with other people. We have our own destiny as individuals, which I feel is God-given. And if a person doesn't fulfill that, there is a sense of incompletion, rather, you know, in their life.
Yes.
And that's why we felt, you know what? Daddy's not here to serve just us. He has done that. He made sure we had all finished university and we were now on our own. And after that point, that is when he made the decision to go into politics.
Okay. Excellent.
Yes, he actually supported him.
One more question on politics before I go into your business ventures. You have said somewhere, I read when I was looking at things, your life and the things you have done, you avoided the political career completely. You didn't even want to go there. But Womutinta, you got married to a man who is a very contentious journalist and a political figure. How have you reconciled that?
I came out of the frying pan into the fire.
Exactly. Is that what you're going to say?
One of those things, sounds a bit might think, what is she talking about? But I literally felt that, you know, I did not understand the scale to which I was getting myself involved. You know, I knew my husband was, and even now he'll tell you, no, I'm not a politician. I'm merely a journalist. So I'll stick to that and say I'm married to a journalist and not a politician.
Well, that's what I said. I said you're married to a, I've used the word journalist and added the word contentious.
Exactly.
I'm not saying controversial. I'm just saying contentious. Okay. As we move along, just one more question. How do you feel about the tribal tag that has been put on the party a distinguished gentleman, Mr. Mazoka, founded? How does that make you feel?
Well, the truth of the matter is the issue of tribalistic tendency was brought about. Yes, I think when he formed the party, there was somewhere in the middle. Now, keep in mind, when all this was going on at the peak of UPND in Zambia,
mm-hmm.
my father was heading it. I was not in Zambia.
Yes.
I was in the U.S. So I cannot really speak on the extent to which I saw tribalism at the time. However, post my father's AK Mazoka's reign of UPND, rather, there came a point where Mr. Hagande Hijile took over. Now, at that point, I was able to then see, and I think at the time I became a more mature person, I started seeing this tag or hearing this tag of UPND being a Tonga party, which sometimes actually shocks me a little bit, in the sense that in the original, in the original constitution of UPND, actually, I don't know the clause exactly. I'd have to go back and have a look at it. But UPND was founded in such a form that every tribe had to be represented, or rather every province within the country.
Okay.
Hence, it is one of the only parties in Zambia that has two vice presidents. That was one of the ways that they were trying to level the field. Because
yes.
my father, for example, believed, in all honesty, that you cannot have a regional party and win Zambia. There is need to make sure that the entire country comes on board. Yes, of course, you have divisions here and there where, you know, you have your stronghold as a politician. However, it is important to bring people on board. Now, the use and the evolution of this tribalism tag that UPND has suffered, keep in mind that anytime somebody feels threatened about something, they will find a way to discredit it. They
yes.
will find a way to alienate people who can jump aboard. That, unfortunately, is the nature of our politics in Africa. And I say that again, that is the unfortunate nature of our politics in Africa. We are not working from the perspective of uniting the country and bringing the best people forward. Or, yes, politics is always a contentious issue, and there will always be competition, because that is the nature of the game. However, let the nature of the game be mature to the point where we are now tackling issues and not where people come from. That is where I think we have lost it as a nation. Because even today, if you look at the composition of UPND, ask yourself, is it really tribal? Look at the numbers. Yes. Now, in the voting pattern, there is a sense of what might look like it's tribal, because you find that its stronghold is the southern province. But now keep in mind, look at it from the perspective that if people, I see it as a way of the voting patterns, I see how people are able to discredit others. For example, it's not to say that no Bemba person stood for UPND in Luapula province, or there was no in Northern province. there was no person who stood under UPND in Krasama. You see what I'm saying? People are there, and they are members of UPND. The question that we should be asking ourselves is, why are people voting this way? What message are we giving our people that is making them vote in these patterns? That is where the issue of, and now it's become, the truth of the nature is, we have all become a tribal nation in the sense that we are putting the issue of the development, and that has to change.
Exactly. Yeah, like a friend of mine says on this show.
The issues are important.
Yeah, like a friend of mine keeps saying on this show, all politics are tribal, whether you're in the U.S. or you're in the United Kingdom. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're speaking to Mrs. Mutinda Chiko Mazoka Membe, entrepreneur, humanitarian. For those of you who may be interested in knowing, she went to Syracuse University in New York, and she has lived in Atlanta, Georgia. So she's got that diaspora component to her. There are so many things we need to talk to her about, and I hope you are enjoying this. If you'd like to join our discussion, you are listening online, you can call into 319-527-6219. Okay, let's switch gears here. Enough of politics. I just wanted to, from the way you are talking and you are sounding, I'm not convinced you are not involved in politics. I'll be your campaign manager when you make that decision to stand.
Mr. Nathan, so, that's a good one.
No, I'll be your campaign manager. Okay, now, Ms. Mutinda, how do you balance your life between Himoya Nail Lounge, Oracle Media Productions, Duncan Gilbert Matheson, Color Evolution, and the list can go on? How do you balance your life between all these operational ventures and businesses?
Wow. That is a difficult question to answer, but I will try to keep it as simple as I can.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody is listening out there who actually follows the issue of astrological signs, they will come across a character called an Aries, and that is what I am. And one of the definitions and descriptions of an Aries' characteristic is that they're wonderful at starting things, but very lousy at finishing them. That is me. In the sense that I am more of a creator. I think I've been blessed with the talent of bringing people together and starting something and just doing that type of management. Kind of more of an aerial aspect to management. And that's how I have pretty much worked in most of my life. So, for example, you know, I have this nail lounge, and I literally had to go back to school the year before, I went back and got my licensing as an esthetician as well. So at that particular time, that was something that I was interested in. So I did that. So I'm a qualified esthetician, and I enjoy it. And I feel that, you know, in life, generally speaking, we should not limit ourselves to one career. I think it's important to broaden one's horizon. When it comes to Duncan Gilbert Matheson, though I'm no longer involved on a day-to-day basis, that is a family business that was, at the time of my father's death, it was pretty much non-existent. The company had quite a bit of debt and was poorly managed at the time. Actually, one of these casualties of the situation where my father ran for office, and so as a result, they needed to cripple any business he was involved with. So Duncan Gilbert Matheson was one such endeavor. So when I came back from America, picked that up from scratch, built it to the company that it is today, and it's doing very well. About 2014, I left and decided to concentrate on opening this House of Beauties, called Himoya House of Beauties, the company's name. While I was doing that as well, of course, I've done television for a number of years. At the time, I had launched a talk show on a local channel here called Movie TV. And I thank a gentleman called Mr. Stephen Miranda, who is the proprietor and owner of Movie Television.
Movie TV.
He's the one who pretty much gave me a chance. Yeah, and we did that show for 4 seasons. And we've been blessed in such a way that the show has now been picked up by Mnet. So it will be airing.
Yes.
On,
we'll be talking about that in a moment.
Starting on the 7th of December.
The 7th of December,
it's a talk show. It's a one-hour talk show, and we tackle different issues, from health concerns to the politics. We dabble just a little bit. We don't want to make it too political, but rather we'd like to put a more human face to contentious issues, as you like to say. And, so that is pretty much what Talk It Over with Chico is about. So we're looking forward to launching that. I have a great team. And so it's a great platform because, you know, it's a platform that will be visible to the continent. So I'm quite excited about that. But generally speaking, like I said, you learn to balance. That's about it.
You have to balance. Okay. I guess we have to come for mentorship and help to you, because I was looking at this list of companies that you operate, and I'm like, okay, I wonder how Mr. Membe is coping with this. when I read about Duncan Gilbert Matheson, I laughed because I remembered something, and I know Frida is going to chuckle at this one. You mentioned some of the products and the favorite ones, and I remembered Africoco.
Right.
Yeah, I remember Africoco.
Yeah, we always say that if you are alive in the 80s and 90s in Zambia, early 90s, the drink you probably had at some point in your life was Africoco or Lavelle brandy.
That's true. That's very true. You're an entrepreneur, a business person. By all measures, I want you to respond to these items I'm going to list here. How are the following issues affecting your business operations? Number one, load shedding by Zesco Electricity. How is that affecting your operations?
Okay. Well, load shedding. As you know, most businesses now. I'll try and just touch on a few businesses and how they're affected by load shedding. For example, for my beauty business, of course, part of it uses electricity for the treatment. For example, for the facials and things like that, you obviously need electricity for the machinery to work. And if it doesn't, if there's no power, you have no clients. So you find maybe every week we either have to ask the ladies to knock off early because they're not able to complete the services. So so in our business, actually, when we did our evaluation of loss in terms of our business, we've lost an average of about 35% of our business since this load shedding started. In the period of about 2 to 3 months, yes.
35% in 2 to 3 months?
Yep, it's that bad.
I'm saying, oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And, so that has affected the business. Now, at the level that I'm at, sit down and think to yourself, well, should I continue the business? Because, you know, as much as you want to employ people, the money has to be able to justify, or the people have to be able to justify the money that is being spent on them and the money that is also coming in. And unfortunately, we've had a large decrease. For a company like, of course, people argue and say, buy a generator. Well, for a generator, for you to run the generator on average, you're spending an additional, there are two things that I want to actually bring to attention. For those people who have a generator, at least on average, you are spending maybe another 1,000 kwacha, probably a week, if not more, on a generator. for the gas that goes into the generator when you decide to use it. Also, electricity tariffs, very soon we have been, there's speculation that the electricity tariffs are about to increase. Of course, that will also eat into the profit of our business. Again, so our forecast is we're looking at a drop in profits of about 40%. So literally, we'll see how December goes, but that's generally speaking what we're looking at. For a company like Duncan, Gilby & Matheson, that is obviously a bigger company, and that is located in the industrial area. Now, the company does have a generator, but the amount of fuel they consume in a week unbelievable. Because there, on average, they can easily spend, because sometimes the load shedding alternates, so 1 week it will be off more so in the morning and then the other in the evening. So what generally happens is that you'll find that the amount of fuel they're using in a week sometimes can go up to 10,000 kwacha in a week. And that's on the low end.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, for a business like that, and businesses generally in Zambia, you cannot peg your costs or your charges, rather, on your costs. So, for example, if I'm using 10,000 kwacha in electricity a week, and my products were selling before, you know, these load shedding issues came about, if I was selling something at 25 kwacha, because the economy has slumped in the manner that it has, I do not have the elasticity, or the market is not prepared to absorb that new price that I would have to put on the product. So again, you're going into a loss. And the So for example, a drink that Lavelle, I think we're selling at something like wholesale, goes for about 25 kwacha per bottle. So if you sell it at 25 kwacha per bottle, that is generally the going rate if you are not putting in the factors of, the load shedding and everything. Now, because there are also competitors on the market and we're all competing for a small market, none of us can say, because we've increased our cost in electricity, let us now take our products to 30 kwacha. That's not possible. So now the what would be considered our profit is being eaten into completely. And companies have been forced to pretty much say, okay, well, as long as we're operating to keep us alive, then that's what we do. And that is what has stagnated a lot of companies. And so as a result, foreign goods that are coming in are finding that they are far better off, or they make a better profit than we do locally. I'll give the example of a company called Trade Kings in Zambia. It is the largest company here in Zambia in terms of household. It's like the FC Johnson of Zambia, pretty much. So they do like washing detergents. It's like a Unilever type of company. Detergents, you know, the famous Bloom, type of products. They burn, I think, something ridiculous, like 300,000 kwacha in a week is what I think I heard somewhere. And so if you go to the grocery store as a person and you're shopping, you'll find, if I buy Staysoft, which is imported from South Africa, I'll buy Staysoft at 20, I think it's going for about 23 kwacha 19 days. So let's say it's about 24 kwacha is Staysoft, which is imported. But if I buy the equivalent fabric softener from Trade King, which is called Boom Staysoftener, I'm buying that at about 30 kwacha.
Yeah.
So as much as I want to support local industry, my salary is not increasing, and most Ghanaian salaries are not increasing. So you wind up supporting foreign items than your own.
Than your local products.
Very damaging to the economy.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. One more. I had about four of them, but you have addressed the other two in answering the load shedding. Those of you that have called in and you'd like to ask Ms. Mutinta a question, please press 1 on your key phone pad so that I know that you have a question for her. I think I'm only going to do about two or three questions because we need to conclude with Talk It Over with Chico, the talk show, and the launch on December 7th. Okay, my second point on how these issues are affecting your business operations is exchange rate, Kwacha exchange rate, let's say to the dollar, vis-a-vis the inflation rate. How is this affecting your operations?
Well, most businesses in Zambia, raw materials, just general ingredients, for example, with my spa, for example, I would say most of the products I use are imported from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the exchange rate, you might end the lead time between ordering products. Sometimes you find that by the time you are paying, you've paid for a product and it arrives on your end, you find that the product has already lost value because of the exchange rate. So you'll find that even as people are dealing in businesses, you find that they will have to peg things at a higher price just to protect themselves from the dollar fluctuation. So it's very, very frustrating. And then also the other issue that has kind of affected us is the issue of which relates to the exchange rate is how much money you can transfer within, from account to account or withdraw here in Zambia. I'm not sure if this has been enacted yet, but you can only transfer, I believe, no more than 25,000 or withdraw 25,000 kwacha at a time. Now, that makes it very difficult to make any type of purchase because especially as a company like with Duncan Gilby and Matheson, we have huge... for example, we buy bottles from South Africa, some come from India. By the time you order those bottles, you find they're quoting them in dollars. But by the time those, if you're lucky and let's say you have a credit facility, by the time you're paying for that item, you find that it is far more expensive than you had originally planned. So one of the direct effects is planning, future planning is hindered by an uncertain market.
Interesting.
So those are some of the challenges we're having, yes.
Yeah, I can understand. Okay, those that have called in, if you've got a question for Ms. Mutinta, press 1 on your phone keypad, and then I'll know that you have a question for her. If people do not have any questions, they are afraid to ask this politician who doesn't want to do politics. Let's talk about your talk show, okay? Talk It Over with Chico.
Okay.
What was the motivating factor for starting this talk show? I mean, how did it start?
Okay. What that the concept came about was I had just lost my father and I came back to Zambia for the funeral. So I stayed in Zambia for about a month and some change, just a little over a month.
Mm.
So at the time, while I was living in Atlanta, I used to appear on a program. I used to co-host a program called African Treasures. And that program, the purpose of the program was to just highlight the good works or and deeds that people from the diaspora are doing and to try and break down the misconceptions and the unfortunate notions that Western countries have about Africa and Africans. That was the purpose of that show. And that's pretty much how I started this whole television career. So when I came back to Zambia, I thought to myself, you know, there was this new TV station that had started up and it was called Music TV. So I said, well, let me put a treatment together and see what they say. So I put one particular episode treatment in order, and then I went to visit the owner or the managing director of Movie TV, and that was Mr. Stephen Miranda. So when I got there, I had a word with him, and I said, look, this is something that I would like to do. What is your view? And he basically said, well, you know what? Why not? Let's give it a shot. So I said, well, the only thing is I would have to do it next year. I said, oh, okay. I think I took him aback by then because he thought why are you coming to me with this now when you're only planning on doing it in a year? But anyway, I went back to America, got back, and started the show. Now, the inspiration for the show was just that in Africa, I just feel that we do not have the right dialogue going on, or enough of them, rather. Yes, people are dialoguing, but not in an open forum. And because our country and our continent is becoming more visual in terms of their TV use, the use of things like computers, your internet, and things like that, I thought, let me have a program where people can come and tell their story, be it positive. And if they're negative stories, I believe there is always a silver lining. Let us sit down and talk about these things and give people
yes.
the opportunity to speak openly, and most importantly, don't judge. I think as a continent, as a people, we are just so judgmental without understanding somebody's full story. And so that was one of the motivations. So, in fact, one of the first episodes that I did of Talk It Over with Chico was I went out on the streets and in the middle of the night and started working with an organization called Tasinta. And Tasinta
yes.
is a program that that was run or managed at the time by Professor Nkanduluo, where he worked with professional sex workers, as they're referred to here in Zambia. And so this organization would go out in the middle of the night and we tried to take the women off the streets. So that was one of our first episodes, and I think that's pretty much what put us on the map. I went out with this particular team, and, you know, you go to bars, so you do the bar crawls, and you pick up women, you sit down with mm-hmm. them, have a drink with them, and try to dissuade them or try to understand why they're doing this and offer them an opportunity. So that particular episode resonated highly. And so when I presented it, I said, look, most of the time, the minute you say sex work, everybody's like, wait, you know, that type of thing. And a lot of people have a lot of judgment. But
yeah.
we brought these women on, and it was amazing the stories that they told of why they were doing what they were doing. Yes, of course, there are some people who just do it for the hell of doing it, but in this particular case, we found some really powerful women who had amazing stories to tell. There was one particular woman who was doing it, and she was putting her child through university. And, of course, when I first heard her story, I was like, suspect. But, you know, it actually turned out to be legitimate, to the point where 2 years later, we actually went for the child's graduation. But luckily enough, we dissuaded this woman from doing that type of work. She wound up joining the Tasinta program. She wound up joining the Tasinta program. She graduated from the program. She's now one of the mentors of the program. And that's what she does. So it was something
yeah.
positive that came out of something negative. So those are some
Excellent.
Of the things that we like to do, is just bring forth conversations that will make a difference in somebody's life.
What are some of the taboo subjects? Can you just mention 2-3? What are these taboo subjects that you are referencing?
Well, obviously, sex work is not exactly something that you want to sit at the dinner table discussing with your parents. That's one. Then the other one, I would say, we dealt with one on circumcision. That was a bit awkward because, you know, some people are just like, no, women shouldn't be talking about this, you know. So that was a bit of a hot topic. The other ones that we talked about is just these issues in terms of how we train or prepare women for marriage. And some of the concoctions that are used in terms of traditional medicine. And now what we do with the show is we try to take something that you would look at its face value and think, okay, this topic is just this. But what we try to do is take whatever topic it is and look at it in almost a 3D effect. So we go
okay.
a little bit deeper. So it's like a prism that you turn a little bit and realize that, oh, there's this other side. And, oh, let me turn it this way, and, oh, there's this other side. So, for example, like a subject of the medicines that women are using for the so-called pleasuring men and things like that, we've looked at it from the angle of, look, you are putting these things up your certain areas of your body, or even just things like these, what do they call them? In Tonga, we call them Nsimbo, you know. So you're using these things and you're putting them in your body. What is it doing to your body? So you might talk about, yeah, well, this medication is great for your for pleasing your husband, but then on the other side, you're also putting your body at risk because these things are now becoming cancerous, for example. So those are some of the taboo topics, which, yes, they turn taboo at first value, at face value, rather. But,
yeah,
but once you go through the discussion, you realize that there is a lot more to this subject than just what you are what you perceived at first.
Exactly. Before I let Ms. Frieda make a comment or question, one more. Have you ever had a guest who had a situation where featuring on your show sort of backfired with family, with friends, and situations like that?
Well, generally, well, in the past, I will say no, we have not. Yes, it backfired. In the only one that I would say was a bit awkward was obviously the sex worker one. But
okay,
we had a lot of onslaught from the public initially because when we did the show, it was a two-part show. So the first part of it, we just did purely the street stuff. And then
yes,
later on in the evening, the next day rather, the next episode rather, we did it from the perspective of how to heal these people and to change, you know, the way they were living. So the type of onslaught that we got was like, no, you people, my temple plate, and stuff like that. You know, why are you talking about these things? Those are just prostitutes. They should just be locked up. So we had that type of onslaught. But what we did was we obviously had to protect the identity of the guest.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was anybody who received the backlash, it was myself from the perspective of why did you do this? But
yes,
it later came out that people started appreciating it. And I think as I look at Zambia, because sometimes if you listen to some of the late night talk radio shows, my God, I mean, the stuff they talk about, I was like, because there's a, the talk has become more open. So, so that is one of the things I'm enjoying is that we, as a society, I am seeing that we are changing and we're becoming more open about the discussions that we're having.
Okay, let's go to Atlanta, your former home. Ms. Frieda, please go ahead.
Sure. I really have more of a comment than a question for Mutinta. I think since I've known her, she's one person that has really demonstrated that we have hope for Zambia as well as for Africa from my perspective. And I think it comes back from being able to balance from the aspects of being in the diaspora, being able to go back to Africa, being able to be brave and still be courageous and still pursue your dream. And the one thing that always strikes me whenever I have a chance with her is that I always learn something new about what's going on in the ground in Zambia, and also her ability to reach out and to interact with people from all economies and walks of life. And what she's really talking about, I think if all of you have heard, is that ethic leadership of how can I be of service to other people. You know, a lot of people in Zambia are judgmental. So the fact that she has two last names that are publicly known, people will automatically think that she's not doing this for other people, she's doing it for herself. But the reality is that this is what's going to help us become much more successful in driving the much-needed change that we have on our continent, and especially with our new president-elect. Everybody should be thinking about Plan B, from my perspective, and start thinking about what they need to do to put themselves and our children in a better position. So in summary, Mutinta, you have been an amazing sister, friend to me, and keep doing what you're doing. It's dangerous, but then it's risky, but then nothing worthwhile is ever easy. Nothing worthwhile just happens to you. It does require for you to go down that path and face those adversaries. So keep doing what you're doing and know that we all support you and love you.
Aww. Thank you so much, Ms. Frigia. You know, when people speak about you in such a manner and you're listening, you're like, oh, is it me she's talking about? So thank you so much. Frigia, people don't know the history I have with Frida, but Frida has always been one of my good friends, one of the most inspiring figures I think that we have on the continent there. And I would applaud you to maximize. If you meet Frida, do the networking, because if anybody taught me the importance of networking, it is that bright star in Atlanta, Frida Mwamba Brazo.
Well, thank you.
I say amen to that. Ms. Mutinta, Talk It Over with Chico is launching on Zambezi Magic. Can you give us the information, the details about that?
Yes, it's launching on the 7th of December on a station called Zambezi Magic, which in Zambia is on channel 160 on the cable network. And it starts at 20:30, which is 8:30 in the evening. And it should be repeating, although I do not have the repeat airing date. But I would definitely share that with you when I get it. A lot of people in the States have asked, will we be able to watch it online? I'm not sure yet is the answer, because it's, like I said, it's a commissioned program, which means MNET decided to sponsor and pay for the program.
Okay.
But we'll see how that goes, and if we're able to do it, we'll definitely give you guys the heads up on where to find it.
Excellent. Yeah, please keep us posted on it. We'd like to follow the show and see how we can give it the support that it needs. Probably my final question here is Oracle Media Productions going to go ahead with the publication of The Mask?
Yes, it is, and we are currently publishing The Mask. We had a few issues with ZRA, which was one of the reasons I was summoned by the police to force headquarters. Their argument was the issue of infringement, but won't go into too many of the details. But in short, we are publishing the newspaper, and it is available on your street corners. And, of course, for those of you who are out of the country, it is available online as well. So you could always see it there. So that's the mastonline.com.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Wow, I have enjoyed...
And please, I would encourage people, sorry to interject.
That's okay.
I would encourage people to just really support, you know, these publications that we're doing, because it's important to have an alternative voice when it comes to information that you're receiving. Like I said when I was taken to force headquarters, I don't do this for myself. I don't get a salary out of it. It's just I have children. Tomorrow I won't be here. My children will have to live in this world. And it is our duty as we live to prepare a future for our children, the same way our parents prepared a future for us. The onus is on us to make sure that we make leaders accountable. We make each other accountable. We make this nation the greatest that it should be. Because there's no reason why we should have as many people in the diaspora as we have. And the truth of the matter is the majority of people that are out there are so many. Zambians are actually very brilliant people. Now, you can imagine that if we can harness that strength, that intellect, and return it home, what can Zambia not do? Zambia will be
well. Excellent.
But I understand where people are coming from. But let's encourage each other at least to make sure that we're there for each other and to build a better Zambia. I was going to say we'll make a Zambia great again, but I'll be plagiarizing.
I like that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was our show today. Our guest was Mrs. Mutinta Chiko Mazoka Membe. We appreciate her taking the time to talk to us. Inspiring, challenging, and just makes you think about where you are and what you are doing. Ms. Mutinta, thank you so much. She came to us courtesy of Ms. Frida, a good friend and contributor to this show. Thank you, Ms. Mutinta.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nathan, and thank you for those who had an opportunity to listen. And we will encourage people on this end also to get in touch and hopefully we can give them a platform on the show as well. So
excellent.
Wish you all the best and continue doing the good work you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. That was our show today. Next week, we'll be talking to our colleagues from the Organization of Zambians Abroad, shortly known as OZA. And I've also invited a top leader from the Democratic Party of the United States to come and discuss with us the way forward and how they can harness that millennial demographic and what happened in this election between Clinton and Trump. So for some of you, if we don't get to talk again until next Saturday, have a great Thanksgiving, and thank you for joining us again. This was your host, Nathan Nkama from Dallas, Texas. Have a great week, everybody.
You too, Yama.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nathan.
Like the moon watch.